Welcome back to Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Karlfeldt. I am so excited about the show that we have ahead of us. We have some phenomenal information that could save lives. I am Dr. Michael Karlfeldt, and with me I have my co-host,
Tanya Hobo.
You're going to need to tune in to what's going on today. The information is jam-packed, so don't step away.
So excited. Let's go ahead and get this started.
Well, I'm excited to hear your story today.
Oh, okay, good.
I know I did a little bit of a presentation before for your group, and I remember seeing you there.
Yeah.
But I know there's so many of you, and I didn't get... we didn't have time, obviously, to go through, you know, your story. So tell me a little bit. I know Tanya, obviously, she knows, yeah, what you've been going through very well. But tell me a little bit about, you know, how long were you battling Lyme for?
Well, I was battling it very severely for 6 years. I was very healthy. In fact, I had just come back from Colorado skiing 10 days straight. And all of a sudden I didn't feel well. And that was the beginning. And I went to a doctor, and they said, well, of course it's gotta be chronic fatigue. So I went to a specialist, and I flew down to LA to a specialist in chronic fatigue, and there ended up with hepatitis B from eating some food, came home, and it was like all of a sudden I went to drive somewhere and I couldn't drive and I had to go home. And that was the beginning. I got over the hepatitis, and there was just no answers. I went to a neurologist, an endocrinologist, a rheumatologist. Every time they would come up with something. Mm-hmm. And then we would chase that down. And then when they didn't know what it was, it didn't really fit into their expertise, they would fire you on to the next expert. And so this went round and round for 3 years that I had chronic fatigue syndrome,
And that was the biggest, like the chronic fatigue, were you dealing with pain, neurological, brain fog, other things as well, or just chronic fatigue?
Oh, I had, I became, within a month, I was so weak that I couldn't walk.
Oh.
And so I couldn't hardly get around my house, and I ended up being in a wheelchair, and it was very hard to just get from the couch to the bathroom. And I couldn't really take care of myself. I couldn't make a sandwich. I couldn't feed myself as far as, preparing any food. And,
So how did you deal with all of that? Did you have any help?
Well, I was married at the time, and that was helpful, but I still ended up hiring a caregiver to come in and take care of the house. And I was running a business. We had a dog kennel business at the time, and I had a staff at the kennel business was at my home. And so I could get help. I could call somebody up to get help, but I just, and then everything started to happen. I couldn't sleep at all, just horrible sleep. It got so bad that I was just sitting in a chair wired because my nervous system was so fired up. And I couldn't even, the worst part of it was trying to get through one day. One day seemed like 1 year. Oh. And finally, talking to my sister on the phone, she said, I was going to some other doctor, and she said, you know, you need to get something, some sleep medication, some anti-anxiety or something. And I got on an antidepressant that was quite helpful. And I ended up on everything. I ended up on antidepressants and sleep medication, anxiety medication, and I really needed it all. I couldn't think. I couldn't read more than a paragraph. If I turned on the computer, I had maybe 1 minute to get somewhere, or I had to turn it off. And TV, I could watch a little bit. The only thing I could do was listen to audiobooks. I could listen. I was living from the couch to my bed. And so this went on just in a quandary of, I had all sorts of tests, went to all sorts of doctors, was very frustrating. Nobody had any definitive answers. And all these crazy things were happening to me that had never happened to me. You know, I'd never had anxiety. I'd never had all these sleep problems. I didn't even know what it was. And, you know, of course, I had no understanding that Lyme affects your nervous system so severely. But it was very humbling, because you go from a very smart, capable, energetic person to somebody that can't even get up out of a chair. And it was, the fatigue was so bad that I couldn't support my head. I had to have pillows all around me. If I went in the car, I had my pillows around me. And so this went on, and finally, 3 years later, and I was desperate. I went to a naturopath over on the coast. And by the time I went there, I had to do the appointment laying down because I was so weak. And she just looked at me and she says, I think you have Lyme. And I said, oh, no, I've been tested for that. I was negative. Well, of course, I had the CDC recommended test that has a very high false negative rate. And so I just ruled that out, and so had everybody else. And so there was some tests that where they could culture it that took 3 months, but sure enough, it cultured Lyme. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm so happy. You know, I've got a diagnosis. Now we can fix this, right? I was just, you know, I wasn't crazy anymore. And but little did I know, that just opened a whole nother can of worms,
right?
Because nobody knew how to fix the Lyme either.
No.
But at least it got me going in the right direction. And so she put me on some herbeopathic drops, and but I really didn't get any better. And so I talked her into putting me on IV antibiotics. And that lasted about 3 weeks or a month. And by the end of that I was so sick, I had to stop. I just felt like I was going to die. And so I really couldn't, I was too sick to do the antibiotics.
Yeah.
And so finally, you know, I was just desperate, and it seemed that nobody could help me. The people around me, they didn't know what to do either. Nobody seemed to know. And
well, they sent you to all the different specialists, you know, thinking you get answers at the specialists. So how should an individual be able to be smarter than the specialist?
Yeah.
Exactly. And all the top, you know, in California, we have University of San Francisco, we have UC Davis, we have all the top medical things, but they will all diagnose long, they deal with any long term, and neither does the Mayo Clinic. The top research institutions in the nation didn't want to deal with it.
Right.
So, you know, that was out. And so I finally found a naturopathic clinic in Reno, and they had a unique treatment over there. And so I went over there, and I had to have a caregiver rent a hotel, a 10-room thing, and have the caregiver because to wheel me around. And so I did their, they had a 10-day IV treatments, and it was very encouraging because everybody there was getting well. The other people were patients too. They were from all over the place, and there was camaraderie there. And, you know, they would graduate from program and walk out. And me, I did the whole treatment, and, you know, it cost maybe $15,000-$20,000. And I started to get well, and I got my strength back, but it only lasted a week or so. I was tried walking up the stairs, and then I just couldn't do it. And I just went back to where I was. But it had worked. So I thought, well, geez, it worked once. And maybe if I do more, it will, you know, I'll get the same results. It will work. So I did more treatment. And the treatment was brutal. I mean, it was really, you would shake and shiver and feel a horrible. It was really a lot to go through. It was actually just very, very, very difficult to go through, to put your body through it. It was very difficult. And then they would give you IVs after they killed you. They'd give you IVs to perk you up so they could kill you again. And it went on and on and on. It was, they had to bring you back to life before they could hit you with more. And so I did another, you know, round of that. And I was very disappointed. At the end of it, I was still in my wheelchair. Other people had come and gone, and I just couldn't. I think by then my body was so beat down. I think all my systems, I think my adrenals and everything at this point was, the Lyme had just wiped everything out.
Yeah.
And so I went through a second round of treatment, probably spent another $15,000. And then I still wasn't better. Well, they had another treatment where it was IV silver, IV argentin. Mm-hmm. And that was a very difficult IV because it had to be metered, and it was like an 8-10 hour IV every day. So you had to be there hooked up every day, nonstop.
That's a lot.
And I went through 3 weeks of, that was like 3 weeks of that. And spent more money. And by this time, I think, you know, I was so full of silver. I had one of those metal tests, and the silver level was like through the roof. But even then, they would pick out things. They said, oh, well, it's heavy metal. So I would do some chelation. Oh, you have, maybe you have infection in your teeth. And they would do the, I forget the test where they put little bottles of stuff next to you. The
muscle testing or applied kinesiology.
Muscle testing. Oh, yeah. So it's in your teeth. It's in your jaw. And they would come up with all these things. And so then I would chase that for a while. And, but of course, at the end of it, I was still sitting in my wheelchair. I was still very sick. After spending probably 6 months doing a lot of treatment, going over there during the week. I rented a condo over there with my caregiver once for a couple months. I was still just as sick. I came home. I didn't know what to do. I was so weak.
It seems like you've kind of almost, almost exhausted all the things. I mean, you did all the things that, you know, Lyme patients normally do and get results.
Well, and, you know, and these things were working for other people.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like this was some bogus thing. It was working for a lot of people, were getting results. But for some reason,
wasn't working for you.
And I was embarrassed. Yeah, and I was embarrassed about it. Like, what the heck is wrong with me?
Yeah.
You know, like, why can't I get well? And so I came home very demoralized and very sick, and I just didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And by that time, this was maybe 2014 or, yeah, about 2014, the smartphones had come out. They probably came out way before that, but that was about the time I got it. So I could listen. I found I could, with a phone, I couldn't operate a computer, but with a phone, listen to things, listen to podcasts like this. I could listen to different experts talk. And I joined a group, an online group, they're Lyme Less Live More, that they're really an encouraging group that, and they would have different speakers, and I couldn't really be involved live with it, but I could go back and listen to them. And I heard a physician speak on there. And I had already decided and made an appointment with a Lyme literate doctor in the Bay Area that mostly did antibiotics. But then I heard this fellow speak, and I thought, you know, this makes sense to me. And it was about healing the gut, healing the immune system. And just hearing him speak, it just kind of rang a bell. And I think that's very important for people listening to. Nobody can really be an expert on your health as much as you really need to listen to your own intuition, because you know your body and you kind of know what's going on a lot more than anybody else. And so I decided to cancel the appointment I had and wait 3 months for an appointment with him. And I went to him. By this time, I'm still so sick that I did the appointment laying on my back because I couldn't really sit up. And I came home with boxes of tests, different test kits and blood work and all this stuff. And it was like a stack of this stuff. And I just remember looking at the pile and going, I had no idea how I was going to get through it. But I thought, you know, I'm just going to do these one at a time, one at a time. And so I did. And what he was doing for me were some herbopathic things and some antibiotics specifically to target things in my gut that were out of whack. And I remember thinking that, you know, this isn't going to work. It's just, this isn't enough. And I started to get a little better. And then one of the things they had found at the other clinic was my growth hormone was low. So to get insurance to pay for growth hormone, you had to go to do this test at the hospital where they stimulated your pituitary gland or whatever. So I went and did the test, and it just flattened me. It was like 3 months got wiped out. But anyway, slowly I did start. It was a very long journey, and I started to get a little better and gain a little strength. And at one point, I remember him being very frustrated, the doctor, and referring me to some professor at a university back east. And I sent all my records, and he said, we'll get his opinion. I met with him, and he talked to me for like 15 minutes or 10 minutes and said, well, I can't do anything for you if I don't see you. And I thought, well, what a waste of time. I'd spend weeks putting all this together. But anyway, I did start to get better. And also through the Lyme Less Live More people, they do these cleanses. They call it a cleanse where they will target the liver, this or that. But they'll have speakers and everything. They put together a webinar with a counselor that was from Colorado, Michael Vladek. And he had been very sick with terminal cancer as a young person. And this seminar, it was so meaningful to me, because here was somebody that had been through it. And he said, because I didn't realize that when your life is taken away like that, you have a lot of anger. I didn't recognize it, but I realized then that I was very angry. I was angry because I had lost my life,
right,
as I knew it.
I mean, you were skiing for 10 days in Colorado, you know, right before. You're just a vital being, and here you are. You can't even lay down without being propped up of your head.
Yeah, and then I started to have nerve pain, where every day at 3 o'clock, my legs would be like they're on fire for several hours. And I didn't know how to deal with it. I mean, what do you do? I couldn't move. And if I got anxiety, I couldn't get up and go for a walk. I was just stuck. Mm-hmm. And dealing with the nerve pain was, and in the seminar, Michael had given us some meditations that were for pain, and they were helpful. But one thing he said that was pivotal for me is he said that when I was diagnosed with the cancer, and I thought that I would never be happy until the tumors were in remission, he said, I figured out I was never going to be happy anytime soon, because that's not what was happening for me. So I started to look in every day what I did have and not what I didn't have. And it kind of flicked a switch with me, where instead of looking at what I lost, you know, I had two grandchildren that I had never seen because they lived out of state and I was too sick to have them come down. And to just try and find something in every day, whether it be a bird flew by or you saw something funny on TV or some act of kindness, or just, you know, I had a warm house. I had, you know, a nice bedroom and a nice warm bed. And, you know, I had a lot of good things that a lot of people don't have. I had a beautiful place where I lived, with a great big pond out front with ducks. And I could, every day that the weather was any little bit tolerable, I would sit in my chair by the pond, or I would sit outside. And I had things to look at. I had a beautiful surroundings that actually I had created myself, but never appreciated until I got sick.
Right.
And, you know, I had one of those little scooters I could drive around the house, and that gave me more freedom. And, you know, and some days I had, you know, where I didn't feel as sick or whatever. There were people around there that were working there, because our business was on the same property, that I had, that would come and talk to me. And, you know, so I started to look at a little more of what I did have, because I really couldn't do anything about what I didn't have. I didn't have any control over it. And that's very scary, because we're so used to controlling everything. And it didn't matter how much money you had, how much smart brains you had, everything that you thought was worthwhile was all of a sudden powerless to attack this condition. And I think of a big fallacy in our society is, you know, you would see on TV and they would say, well, he fought cancer and he won. You know, he fought it. And you know what? You can't fight a disease. The more you fight it, the more energy you use that you can't heal. And as long as you're fighting it, half your energy is going into the fight instead of the healing. And it was a very hard pill to swallow because it was a pill that I didn't want. It was a condition I didn't want. And, but to accept it, to accept the sickness, to accept the disability, instead of fighting it, and just accept that this is where I am, and trying to make the most out of where I am instead of trying to be somewhere else. Because I think I was so angry and fighting it that I used up a lot of energy on that that my body couldn't use for healing.
And these pathogens, they thrive on that energy. I mean, I wouldn't say thrive, but they get activated by that type of energy. You know, so they feel the distress, they feel the anger, and then they become more defensive and more aggressive, you know, based upon that on that energy.
Yeah, and you know, I think it was pivotal in changing my direction toward healing. When I gave up the fight and accepted the illness, because the illness was a part of me. It's a force of nature.
Right.
And the more you fight it, it's like going out and fighting a hurricane. You might as well just...
Right, and if you don't give into it, you know, like you say, it's very depressing, and I think that that's why mental illness takes such a huge role in Lyme patients' lives, because it is very depressing and you have to just kind of accept what you have. And like you said, find the things in life to be grateful for instead of the negative ones that are all around you. So that's a really important
and that's very
thing.
Difficult. It's very difficult because the last thing you want to be is sick. You want to be who you were, not who you are.
Right.
But the good part of it is that I slowly got better. It, you know, over the next 2 years, I got a little stronger and, you know, a little better. And it took a long time. It really took a long time. And
is that when you were treating on your herbs?
Yeah. And also, I finally realized, because this is another thing in our society, is especially my generation, we are raised that you go to the doctor and they give you a pill and it fixes you. And, you know, we believe that. And when you talk to most people, and mainstream medicine kind of operates on that principle, that some kind of medicine is going to fix it. And I finally realized, you know, I just said, hey, Deborah, nobody's going to fix you. Nobody's going to fix you. So you better start listening to all this stuff about what to eat, how to do this, how to get the toxins out of your life, all this stuff that seemed like hoo-ha to me, because, you know, I'd never heard of it before. You know, I just lived a healthy life doing whatever. And so I, you know, got on the paleo diet. That's what my doctor wanted. Eliminated sugar, eliminated everything. And just really did everything I could. I bought an infrared sauna, which I think was really so helpful in my healing that I still use a lot today. But I'm now at a point where, you know, I'm very active again. And, you know, I just really feel that, you know, I talk to a lot of Lyme patients and I hear their stories. And I think if I can get well from where I was and how low I was, anybody can get well. Mm-hmm. And it's not easy, and, you know, it did take some money, because a lot of things, most things are out of pocket at this point. But
so it seems like the therapies that really moved the needle for you was, you know, first the shift in attitude, and then second was then cleaning up your diet. I mean, it seems, so would you contribute those two factors to as the biggest part of your healing?
Yeah, I would, that, and also I was on herbeopathic drops for the various things. For Lyme, I had Babesia, Bartonella. Some other virus or whatever, that I was on herbeopathic drops. And I actually, I'm still on a lot of that stuff today. And, you know, I still spend a fair amount of money on supplements and things. And I recently decided, well, I don't need to be on these anymore because my tests are good and everything's good. And I had a bout of just no energy, and so I had to go back on them. And
so how do you monitor where you're at, you know, obviously how you feel, but you said tests that were showing kind of where you're at. What were the, what are those tests?
Well, I was testing with the, through my physician. I'm with the same doctor that helped me get well. And I meet with him at least every 6 months still. And he was testing through Armin Labs in Germany. And it was more, I think, killer cell activity, which kind of gave him a better indication of where you were at right now, as opposed to antibody tests that, you know, would be more of a past infection. So that was the type of testing he liked to do. Mm-hmm. And, but it's very expensive.
Right.
And, I would say about a year ago now, I, had extensive testing, and, they all came out negative.
Great.
So I thought, well, I don't need this stuff anymore, but it turned out, you know, I'm just better off on it. So I'm very much still on a regimen of self-care and hormonal support. And I'm not on antidepressants or anxiety or sleep medication. I was able to wean myself off those. But I really do think that in certain situations, they're very called for, because your nervous system can just be, get so ramped up that you can't get well, or you can't sleep. And I know a lot of people don't like to take them, but there was a time when I really did need them. But the infrared sauna has been huge. It just, even now, when I have an energy glitch, I will start doing the infrared sauna, and also the ionic foot bath is helpful to me.
I love those. Yeah, we have both at home. Yeah.
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 So it's kind of just a constant, I think it's life-changing when you have chronic Lyme, that you just will continue to do certain regimens. Whether it be supplements or just detoxing regimens, probably for the rest of our life, just to keep us where we are and keep us healthy. Yeah, exactly.
So where are you at now? I mean, with all of this, I mean, you've gone through this journey. Where do you feel you're at now? Do you feel you're 100% or where?
Yeah, I feel I'm 100%, but I have to work at it.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't come easy for me. I don't take my health for granted. Yeah. I've been very much protecting myself from the virus, because I know those kind of things will affect me more so than other people,
right?
Most likely. And I, you know, do my infrared sauna. I do a lot of supplements. I'm still on my herbeopathic drops for Lyme and Babesia. And it's quite, the downside of it is it's quite expensive taking all this stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, it seems I'm always refilling this or buying more stuff on Amazon or whatever, getting, so that's kind of the downside, but, you know, my health is worth everything because, you know, sometimes I get, well, geez, I'm spending all this money on, you know, this supplement and that supplement and did this and that, but, or, you know, when I see my doctor, it's expensive, but, you know, I have to tell myself that, you know, if you don't have your health, that money isn't going to do you any good at all because you can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. So whatever it costs, it's my life. And I'm also doing things. I'm not putting things on hold. Well, you know, I might take a trip here or there sometime. You know, I have planned, I've been on a couple trips and I'm planning some things. I'm thinking, hey, I'm going well, the going's good.
Yeah, exactly. And
I also decided, you know, to sell the business and I ended up splitting from my husband. It was a very stressful relationship. And I just realized, and that was very difficult for me because my career and my marriage were all wound together. And it was, you know, we'd been 35 years together. But when I got well, it was again my gut telling me. And it said, if you stay here, you will get sick again. And if you get sick again, you won't make it. And that propelled me. That gave me the wherewithal to all of a sudden I figured out my next steps and how to still work at my business but live in a different place. And for years, I couldn't figure that out. And for years, the years I was sick, I was like a captive animal. I was in the back bedroom and I felt like tiger in a cage that somebody throws a piece of meat to every day, because I couldn't, if something upset me or somebody said something to me mean or whatever, I couldn't get up and walk out the door. I just, you know, I felt like a caged animal. And I had lost so much. I was so debilitated that all my body could do and my mind could do was get up and fight for my life every day. That's all I could do. I lost my creativity. I lost my emotional love and appreciation. It felt very animalistic.
It's just survival. I mean, you're just in that survival state. Yeah, it's a reptilian brain that's active and just what do I need to do next in order to just survive?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's very hard to explain to anybody, but those things came back slowly.
Mm-hmm. Enjoyment for life and, you know,
creativity, like, and you would find yourself doing something. I ended up adding on a thing to the end of the house, a room, and we were designing it. And it was so much fun. Like all of a sudden I was doing something.
Yeah.
And the things that I knew how to do well, I forgot that I knew how to do them. And I had forgotten what I even knew how to do, or that I knew how to do anything. And all of a sudden I would be doing something, the motions were there and it would jog my brain. Oh yeah, you know how to do this.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, I got physically better before I got physically healed long before I got emotionally healed. Yeah. Because when you're in that fight for your life situation for an extended period of time, it's like a PTSD. It's a place when your mind goes to it, it's like a battlefield. And it took a long time. And I feel I'm pretty much over it now, but once in a while, my mind will go there. Mm-hmm. And thank God that time is such a good healer that, you know, the memories do fade of how desperate it was. Mm-hmm. But there's so much to healing. You know, your body gets well, but your mind is so damaged from such a...
Yes, exactly. And you feel, I know with me, I felt like I didn't have any confidence in doing anything. The simplest of things, because... When one day you don't know your own name, you know, you get better. How could you possibly, you know, think that you could go back to work or do anything? You have zero confidence in your mentality of life. And that alone is a struggle to overcome. So there's so many emotional things that tie into Lyme and going through any type of chronic illness, for example. But just to be able to get your life back, it's a struggle. It's a struggle.
It is.
But I'm glad you're there.
Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, and there were a lot of times that, you know, I didn't really care what way it went. You know, if I died the next day, it would have been a relief. I didn't really care at a point, you know, if you live fine. In fact, if I could have figured out an easy way to kill myself, I probably would have, just to get out of it. And so now, you know, there's times I'll be driving down the highway, looking out at the scenery and going, holy shoot, look what I'm doing. You know, look at out there, how beautiful it is, what I'm able to see. And I was driving actually in my car the other day, and I thought, look what freedom we have. We can get in our car and we can go here and go there, and I can, and you know, and sometimes I just think how I think I have a greater appreciation of life
than for the smaller things that we used to take for granted. Absolutely.
Like, yeah. And I don't fear death anymore. You know, I've already faced it. Right. And I'm just,
yeah,
I'm just living. I just want to live every day. And
that gives you a lot of freedom, you know, because then you, like you're saying, you're not fighting for something. You're just kind of living for that moment. And you're, and like you're saying, the all the beautiful thing that you, the pond and ducks and things that you created, you know, now you have the time and know the importance of recognizing that.
Yeah. And just the, you know, so many people, you know, we, especially now with the political climate and everything, everybody's complaining about this and complaining about that. And I mean, this is a wonderful place to live. I mean, you know, we have so much here. And, but I just want to encourage other people that are suffering. You know, after 6 years, you're kind of looking for somebody that is worse off than you. And I would hear, I think it's the Better Health guy. And I was listening to him, and he explained how he was really sick for 10 years. And I thought, well, he was sick for 10 years and he got well. I've only been sick for 6. So, you know, I got a few years to go.
Can do this.
See, and we need that. Well, it's, thank you so much for coming on to the show today, and thank you for sharing your journey. We did have the Better Health guy on earlier on our show.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. So he.
Well, and it's so exciting how all the new developments in Lyme treatments, and so there's so much moving forward. And I think, you know, there is never a better time to have Lyme than now.
Yeah.
Because there's so much coming down the pipeline, and there's so much new information. It's being recognized. Better testing. It's so much.
Absolutely.
So much more.
It's come a long ways. We still have a long ways to go, but it's come a long ways. And I know that your journey has kind of led you to the educating and advocating for Lyme. Cause both you and I, that's how we met, was being on the board for the Lyme Center in Chico, California, the LymeCenter.org. So that's how our paths cross, was because of Lyme. So I love to see people that go through this journey and then they want to take that, what they've gone through, and put it into their passion as to help spread awareness about the disease and to help others. So I appreciate what you do for the Lyme community as well.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for listening.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, sharing. Deborah.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
The information in this podcast is for educational purposes only, and it's not designed to diagnose or treat any disease. I hope this podcast impacted you as it did me. Please subscribe so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. There are some excellent shows coming up that you do not want to miss. If you're enjoying these podcasts, please take a moment to write a review, and please don't keep this information to yourself. Share them with your family and friends. You never know what piece of information that will transform their lives. For past episodes and powerful information on how to conquer Lyme, go to integrativelymesolutions.com, and an additional powerful resource, limestream.com. For Lyme support and group discussions, join Tanya on Facebook at Lyme Conquerors Mentoring Lyme Warriors. If you'd like to know more about the cutting-edge integrative Lyme therapies my center offers, please visit thecarlfeldcenter.com. Thank you for spending this time with us, and I hope to see you at our next episode of Integrative Lyme Solutions with Dr. Carlfeld.